Podcast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Here on the Paracast, we have James Fox, movie producer who has ended up doing mostly UFOs. He's become the UFO guy. Didn't plan on it, but somehow it ends up that way. I know the feeling.
Thank you.
Kind of want to just go back to a regular life, and this thing keeps just grabbing at you. So you're not going to talk about Roswell?
No.
Good.
No?
You did, yes.
That was several people on the forum at forum.theparacast.com are going to listen to that and jump up and down. I won't start quoting some of the comments, but that's a real welcome statement, James.
Yeah. So this is not to say that if somehow we received some new, extremely compelling evidence or testimony that we wouldn't consider at least reviewing it. But as of now, we are not touching Roswell. It seems to be a blanket statement across the board with all parties involved that it's not happening. That, like I said, it doesn't mean that we would not be open to reviewing something that's startling, something that's compelling, something that's resurfaced. We would at least consider reviewing that. But as of right now, we are not covering Roswell.
Well, of course, we have this dream team, which supposedly is looking into it as a cold case to try to get a new slant. But right now, I don't see anything out of that that's really compelling. There are a couple of people who claim to have found some slides of aliens in somebody's attic, and that sounds rather fishy to me.
Yeah, so we'll reminds me of the Ray Santilli footage. Remember the Ray Santilli footage back in 97?
Sure. Produced by Bob Kiviat.
Yes, exactly. They made a lot of money.
It was interesting. We had Kiviat on the show, and he was one of the few guests that we had that I just really wanted to slap in the face and say, get out of here. I mean, well, you know him.
I mean, our paths have crossed.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he, faked, I think he was the script editor for that particular series. That was the last time I talked to him, at least. Well, let's move on. You're only going to be here for the first half of the show, and I've got a whole bunch of stuff that I'm wondering if you are interested in talking about. And that has to do with the Socorro Lonnie Zamora case, which I know you've put quite a bit of really hard work and diligence into digging into that particular case. Why don't you give us a thumbnail sketch on, first of all, your thinking going in, how you and Tracy viewed that case, and then give us, you know, kind of a Cliff Notes version of that particular investigation. And you know, if you want to share a couple of bombshells, that's cool, too.
Okay, so, well, you know, I have to give credit where credit is due, and Tracy is the one that really wanted to feature that case, because he kept saying, this is the seminal case, this is the case that turned Dr. Jalen Hynek around. We all know Dr. Jalen Hynek was a scientific advisor to Project Blue Book for the Air Force, and he kept saying, oh, this is the case, you know, and I knew about the case, but little did I know the level of details behind that case. And so I said to Tracy that I would look into it, and we would, you know, gladly feature that case as part of production. And that was probably the best decision I've certainly ever made. I'm sure that everyone else is going to be happy as well, because I just had no idea what we were going to uncover. And some of it was intentional, and some of it was just by coincidence, just got lucky. Let's see, where can I start? Well, let's see. I went back east because, of course, the person that wrote the definitive book on the case is Ray Stanford. And Ray Stanford, the book's called, I think, Socorro's Saucer in a Pentagon Pantry. And even though it didn't exactly look like a saucer, it was more like an egg. It seemed to be a more appropriate title because it just sounds good.
And we'll call it Ray egg in a had, Pentagon Pantry.
Socorro egg in a Pentagon Pantry. and Ray, I spent a good amount of time with Ray Stanford back at his home in Maryland, and he had kept the most meticulous researcher I've ever met. He had kept details of that case from rocks that he'd taken out of the landing site, some of which were broken by the landing gear, to scorched bits of paper, to notes, to interviews that were conducted in 79 from Dr. Hynek. The guy has done the most amazing work on that case of anyone I've ever seen. He knew things about that case that no one knows. We're having this wonderful time together, and he gave us an interview. And I was just kind of hell-bent on getting over to the National Archives because I kept thinking, God, I wonder what else we can uncover. And, you know, Ray was kind of less enthusiastic about it, but I managed to twist his arm and persuade him to follow along with me to the National Archives, and he was like I said, less than optimistic. A long story short, I mean, I can't tell you the runaround we got at the National Archives, and I'd done research. I talked to Bob Friend, who was former head of Project Blue Book. I talked to Colonel Coleman, who was public spokesman for Blue Book at the Pentagon, or the United States Air Force UFO investigation. And I really wanted to find where are the original Project Blue Book files kept? I didn't want microfiche. And no one really seemed to know. So there was some talk about a military, I think it was Hamilton, I'm not sure, but that was in Alabama. There was Colonel Coleman had told me that they had given a lot of the data from Project Blue Book to a university in Southern California. So there was no one really quite seemed to know, but I figured my best bet would be Maryland. And as Ray was just a stone's throw away, I figured, well, while I was there, I should go and try.
Kind of a no-brainer.
Well, when we got there, we got to run around, and we were on all these different floors. And finally, you know, they gave us the microfiche as per usual. And finally, you know, we just said, look, you know, this man right here I'm standing with, he was there at this particular case. We know there are things that are not in this microfiche. Come on. Where are the original files? We want to get access to the original material. We want to get access to the photographs that were taken at the landing site. And the guy was very impressed with the fact that, you know, Ray was there with me, and I think that really helped. He said, all right, I'll tell you what. He said, write down your information. Let me see what I can do. Come back in a couple of hours. So Ray and I went in, and we went into the cafeteria. I think we had some lunch or something, and we came back a couple hours later. And to both of our amazements, they said the files ready, and they wheeled out on this cart the original Project Blue Book files from that case. And it was just, I mean, Ray and I looked at each other, and it was like this bolt of adrenaline that went through us both. And it was this level of excitement that I can't even put to words. I mean, it was very exciting. And they had their very strict protocol. You know, you had to wear white gloves, and only one person was allowed to handle the documents at a time, and you had to put a placement holder in. And, you know, we quickly realized that if we followed the protocol, that it would take forever to go through everything they had there. And the one thing that we could do was get a flatbed scanner, and that way we could kind of scan the things. Otherwise, you have to take a document out, put a placement holder in its place, walk across the room to a photocopier, put it in 50 cents, wherever it was, make your photocopy, which wasn't even that great, and then come back to the desk and then start over again. You can imagine hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of documents. That was going to take forever. So we opted to, you know, Ray stayed there. I ran out. I got a flatbed scanner. We came back and we set up shop, and we had this wonderful method going, and we found some absolutely amazing documents. One of which, we found, you know, down to the Richard T. Holder, who was the first, he was a colonel in the Army at White Sands. He was the first military officer on the scene. I think it was within about an hour. And we found his field notes, and we found that not only did they have evidence that would corroborate Officer Lonnie Zamora's statements about the occupants, the beings that he'd seen, by diagrams, detailed diagrams of where the footprints were in relation to the landing gear. I mean, it was unbelievable how deep the footprints were.
Oh, boy. This is fascinating stuff, guys. Let's get more of it. James Fox joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Yeah. Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Amanda Bosold here from Midas Resources. Today, April 4th, 2014, gold opened at $12.97.60. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $13.44.77, $6.72.38 for a half ounce, or $3.36.19 for a quarter ounce. Again, that's $13.44.77, $6.72.38, and $3.36.19.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terriganics. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terriganics.com, spelled Terraganix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terriganics. Life's getting better.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Okay, we have James Fox, and he's working on a film called 701. And it's about the fact that the number of cases left unsolved at the end of Project Blue Book amounted to 701. They tried as hard as they could. They couldn't get it to happen. Okay, so you're talking about here evidence in the Blue Book report talking about the occupants seen in connection with the Socorro, New Mexico case. Tell us more.
Yeah, so, you know, it's interesting. If you look at the summary of the report, you'd think that the Air Force would include the fact that the witness not only saw a craft at close range, but also saw occupants. Don't you think that's a detail that the Air Force probably might want to consider putting in as part of their report? Mm-hmm. Of course, it's not. And not only that, but it's like when you find official, you know, government documents that clearly indicate that there was physical evidence left on the ground to corroborate exactly what Officer Lottie Zamora had seen, including footprints of these creatures. You know, apparently they even made plaster casts of these footprints. And to not include that in the body of the report as part of Project Blue Book is to me, is criminal. And so we found these documents that the, so it proved beyond any doubt that the Air Force knew that there was physical evidence on the ground to back up the claims from Lottie Zamora. You know, there was an effort to obfuscate, and I think it was a reasonable effort to obfuscate the symbol on the side of the craft. There was evidence that we found there that I'm not really at liberty to discuss, but that brought a tear to Ray Stanford's eyes. I can say that, and but I'll leave it at that. But something that validated a claim that he's been making for 49 years that he discovered while we were there at the National Archives.
Let me ask you to stop here for a second, James. You said there's something there you're not at liberty to discuss, and our listeners are going to say, what he say?
Yeah, well, it's because Ray Stanford had made certain claims based on the research investigation that he'd done for his book, and I think that there have been decades of controversy regarding those claims, and I don't think that Ray, as a matter of fact, I know that Ray never had definitive proof of those claims until our visit to the National Archives. And out of respect to Ray,
he didn't have validation and proof that his version of the story was correct, and you found that proof at the National Archives, which brought a tear to Ray's eye, because finally, it's a controversy over the actual symbol that was seen on the side of the craft, and certain information was purposefully changed about that symbol by persons who were officially investigating the case, so that they could keep that symbol back in case it came up again in future sightings, then they would know that these people had a real event. So, you know, there's some question about the two versions of the symbol and which came first, which was the real one, which wasn't. With the visit to the National Archives, James and Ray were able to finally end that particular discussion.
Exactly, and I made a vow to Ray at the time that I would allow him to release that document to the world. Right. So that's why I'm not, you know, going into any anymore.
For a while, Ray's track record of releasing things sometimes. Boy.
Well, I'll discuss it with Ray, you know, because we definitely want to release it.
What did you think of Ray? Let me ask you this. Let's see, you know, since we're talking about Ray Stanford, you spent more time with him, FaceTime, than I think I've spent in all the years that I've known him. You got a real major dose of Ray. What do you think of Ray's work on his, how would I put this, his propulsion diagnostic work and some of the many hours that he spent explaining very patiently, I'm sure, some of the work that he's been undergoing for the past 10 years now. What was your impression of the man? Is he a total loon? Is this guy just out to lunch? Or
well, You know, geniuses can often come across as being insane, and we've seen that time and time again because, you know, he's so focused on details. He has attention for detail, and finding things that would escape the normal eye of the average observer, he would point things out in rocks that he would find from dinosaur remains, fossils that other people have overlooked. I think he's now even featured in the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C. for some right. of his findings. And it's been under the nose of all these people all these decades, and Ray found it. You know, Ray, I knew bringing Ray to the National Archives that I would have good luck. I think he's just got a way about him that finds things. You know, this, if you read his book, Socorro Saucer in a Pentagon Pantry, you'll see the level of detail that he gives to this stuff. It's unlike anything I've ever seen.
It's actually almost scary at times.
Yeah, and so, you know, that in many ways to the average Joe could come across as someone who's like kind of crazy. But if you hear the guy out, you'll see that there's reasons for his theories and quite valid ones. But I'm not a scientist, and my primary objective for the visit with Ray was to focus on the Socorro case.
Right.
But there were other aspects of the UFO phenomena that he shared with me, which I found very fascinating and seemed to make for a layman like myself, seemed to make a lot of great sense. But like I said, you know, my primary reason behind the visit was to focus.
Right,
on Socorro.
You're a filmmaker having to come up with a nice segment on Socorro, and it sounds like you came up with some really slam dunk material that's really going to put certain controversial aspects of the case to rest, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, I'll give you another example.
Okay, but we have 2 minutes left before you have to leave us, so let's make it a quick example.
Okay, I'll make a quick example. I found a document that talked about, it was from Quintanilla. I never pronounced his name correctly. He was head of Project Blue Book at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. And he had mentioned a film crew coming in 1965, and he was very concerned about this film crew and the participation of Lonnie Zamora with this film crew, what he was going to say, what the film crew's intentions were. But then I got a response that was in the National Archives from Dr. Hynek that was directed to Quintanilla that basically said, hey, you know, I understand it's going to be too obvious if you pay a visit to Socorro to figure out what this film crew is all about and why Lonnie's participating. Why don't I just, you know, kind of go in there and see what's going on? So I found out about this film crew and this film, but I didn't have a title and I didn't have names of any of the participants. And, of course, everybody else, all the other the people in the letters were dead. So I found out about this film crew. So then I went to, ended up at, 6 months later, I ended up at Lonnie Zamora's house with his wife, Mary, and she very graciously allowed me to go through his archives, Lonnie Zamora's archives. He kept every newspaper clipping and correspondence and everything from 1964 up until his death. And in that, I found newspaper clippings of an article that was about, in 1965, May of 1965, a film called Phenomena 7.7.
Ah.
And this film, yes.
Oh, okay. Boy. We're leaving this with a cliffhanger, folks. So, James, we're going to have to get you back here on the show to explain it all.
Yes, look forward to it, and I can't thank enough you guys for having me on.
James, thanks so much, man. Good luck with the project. Anything I can do to be of further help, you let me know.
Thank you so much, Chris.
We have Tracy Torme coming up next with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Largest independently owned and operated talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's L-E-M-K-E Soft.com. LemkeSoft.com. L-E-M-K-E Soft.com.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution.
With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
It's time for a home security quiz. What effective home security device is smaller than a coffee cup, fakes out burglars into thinking someone is home at your house while you're away, plugs into any wall outlet, is recommended by many police departments, and sells for less than $30? Yes, it's fake TV. This year, about one in every 50 U.S. homes will have a break-in, with burglars usually picking the easy target, a dark house that looks like no one is home. Fake TV is a small electronic security device that makes it look like someone is home watching TV by simulating the light from a real TV. Fake TV could be the difference between coming home to a secure house or one that's been ransacked. To get your fake TV for only $29.95 with free shipping, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
There are many things the human body can do very well, but maintaining the proper pH level isn't always one of them. That's where AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops can make a world of difference. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps your body do what's natural. Just a few drops a day helps rid your body of harmful waste and acid while promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Alkalizing boosts your immune system and can help fight headaches, irritability, cramping, and insomnia. Alkalizing also helps the body fight depression and even bone loss. To learn more about the importance of alkalizing and how you can find life-changing and vital balance, please visit AlkaVision's brand new website at AlkaVision.com. Same great products, but now easier to use and more informative than ever before. To get your very own plasma pH drops for just $29.95, call 800-518-7615 or visit AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Alkalize your body and supercharge your health at the new AlkaVision.com.
Hi, this is nuclear physicist lecturer Stan Friedman. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
On this half of the Paracast, we're joined by producer Tracy Torme, who is working with James Fox on that film 701. Tracy, welcome back to the Paracast.
Okay, thank you very much.
So tell us first, how did you get back into the UFO game?
Well, I had done, I think, five projects over the years and had really decided that I was done with it. I've sort of said what I needed to say. And then I was approached about doing the Betty and Barney Hill movie, and I didn't think that I was interested, but I actually read the book and found out that I had never read the book before, which I was surprised to see. So I actually went around with some producers and pitched it to maybe half a dozen places. And we never made a sale on it, but it's kind of rekindled my interest in the subject. And I sort of opened myself up to doing something else if the right project were to arrive. And then I met with James, and we both said that we wanted to do sort of a seminal UFO documentary film. And I sort of changed my mind and decided maybe this would be a good time to do one more thing. So that's what got me back into it.
Why this particular selection? Why base it on those 701 unsolved Project Blue Book cases?
Well, I think there's been way, way too much done in the TV documentary vein. You know, there's just been so much done. It's been covered left and right. And I was not interested in doing any kind of a new project unless it was really unique and didn't smack of all of the TV documentary work that has come along. So I think that's what intrigued me, was trying to do something on a sort of a different level than has been done before.
Well, the one thing here, of course, is that we were mentioning with James the fact that all these UFO reality shows have problems.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that a lot of them do have problems. And I just definitely was not interested in doing something that smacked of the same thing that's been done so many times. So we really had, you know, a task on our hands to try to do a project that approached it from a bit of a different point of view and didn't cover the same old ground.
Well, there's so many cases out there. You wonder why we always see the same ones again, again, and again.
Well, I think we do because there are certain cases that just stand out compared to others. And so they naturally fall into place when people are doing documentaries. I mean, we are going to have some cases that have been shown before in some ways, but we're at least trying to only do stuff that has a bit of uniqueness to it and can come at things from a new angle or a new point of view, not the same old thing.
In doing this thing, did any of these particular cases that you explored change your conclusions about them or about UFOs in general?
No, I firmly believe that, you know, 95% of the cases can be easily or relatively easily dismissed. But there's that remaining 5% that I really think there's no good answer for. So it reinforced my feelings that that is the case. I think you really, really have to separate the wheat from the chaff. And I think there are a lot of people in UFO circles that are not, you know, totally happy with me because I've said pretty openly and forcefully that I do think 95% of it is silly and that there are a lot of people in the UFO field who seem to, you know, fall for a bunch of crazy stories without really challenging them very much. So I think it's really, really essential that that people that are interested in the subject try to get to the bottom of it by, you know, again, separating the wheat from the chaff, deciding what things are seem to be real or have reality to them and what things don't. I think that's really necessary. I've sort of run out of patience with the people out there who believe everything. And, you know, people come along and say that there are 12 lizard alien races visiting the Earth, and they immediately fall in line with all that. The Art Bells kind of the world. They don't ask any tough questions. And I'm not interested in doing that. It's just like I've gotten too old, you know. I'm an older guy now, so it's like I'm not really interested in you know, spinning my wheels and going back over the same old nonsense. I really am only interested in things that might get us closer to the ultimate truth.
Well, we are angry at Art Bell because of what he did when he briefly went back on the air. He used the name of a radio show that already existed, already hosted by our friend Don Ecker, Dark Matters.
Wow.
And that was enough. And now he's got Dark Matter or Dark Matters Radio Network. And believe it or not, they actually came here. They contacted me and said, would you like to put the PowerCast in this network? And I said, not with that name.
Yeah.
And I also got an email from somebody the other day saying, why aren't you on this network? And I said, here's why. But let's just go back to the fact that some things are accepted that shouldn't be, and not just 12 types of lizard aliens. Are there specific cases you think are just too readily accepted by people in the UFO field that should really be considered for what they are, which is not
real? Yeah, a really good example of that, I think, would be the Billy Myers case. I mean,
it's absolute
nonsense, and yet people keep dredging it up over and over and over again, and no matter how many times it seems to be shown that it's, you know, really silly season again, people keep bringing it up like it was real. And I think, you know, I think the big problem is journalists and scientists have really been the two groups of people that I think have really screwed up and let everyone down when it comes to this subject. They just don't understand it. They don't grasp it. They think, you know, what you find a lot of times and what I find a lot of times is people say, oh, well, if you think these things are coming from another planet, that's impossible. The distances are too great. It would take too long. Can't be done. Therefore, no story is real. Therefore, nothing is true. Therefore, we're going to go all out to explain these things away at all costs. And you know what? UFOs need good skeptics. They need people who, you know, know what they're talking about and that can come forward and again, you know, separate the, I hate to say the same phrase, but separate the wheat from the chaff. Unfortunately, UFOs do not have good skeptics. The great majority of them are pretty terrible, and their explanations are tortured and obviously incorrect. But they come at it from a point of view right off the bat that this stuff cannot possibly be real, therefore it isn't. Therefore, we're going to debunk everything that comes along. And, you know, that's just not honest. That's not an honest point of view. So, again, that's something that keeps me interested in the subject, is the fact that there's such a need for good, reliable information and not all the crazy stuff.
Well, Tracy, that brings up a really interesting point, and that is, how is your project going to be different from what we've kind of fallen into as a culture of this kind of Cliff Notes version of things, dramatic embellishments for entertainment value? How is your project with James Fox 701 going to be different?
Well, there will be a certain amount of that, by the way. I'm not going to pretend that we're not going to have some familiar territory, because we are anticipating that a certain percentage of our audience will not really know the subject. And we can't just assume that everybody is knowledgeable about it. So there will be a certain amount of things that are a little bit of a retread in a certain way to some of the UFO experts. But we are trying to do several things that make this project more unique. We're trying to find only the most interesting cases. We're trying to go to the real locations where these things happen, which often doesn't happen in recreations. We're trying to be technically very, very accurate when we do a recreation of an event. We're really trying to say that we are following it as closely and as accurately as we possibly can. We're planning on using the very best CGI techniques, which will give the viewer really the experience of what it's like to have a real close encounter. So we actually take it very seriously that all of the recreations that we have chosen are technically accurate, are interesting and compelling, not just the same old stuff. An example would be, we're not doing Rendlesham Forest, or we're not doing abduction.
All right, Tracy Torme is joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
We are the premier independent talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TECHNIGHTOWL for a special discount.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $33,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $33,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even if I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months, simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Tracy Torme, working with James Fox on the movie 701, telling us about the cases that are not going to be included. And, of course, James did mention that Roswell would not be. There's nothing new to report about Roswell. But why not Rendlesham, or has the story been told too many times?
Yeah, I'm really afraid it has. I think it's a great case. I really do. I think it's an absolutely great case. But I've seen it myself, you know, four or five different times in different ways. It just has sort of reached that oversaturation point. And the same thing goes with Roswell. I mean, I think Roswell is very interesting. I love Don Schmidt's work on it. I hope in my own way that it's real. I'm not really sure. I'm somewhat on the fence. But again, it is a very compelling case. There's no doubt about it. But has it just been seen at the yin-yang, you know? And it's just like the same thing with Rendlesham Forest. I'm trying to think of maybe another example or two of something that we looked at that we decided not to do. Well, like the O'Hare Airport case.
Right,
again.
The Phoenix Lights. Would be
yeah, relevant. Phoenix Lights, exactly, exactly. That's one of the main tasks for James and I. And, you know, we reached a very quick early agreement. Let's try to be as unique and different as we could. But one other thing to answer your question. We are not doing the typical thing where it's like a documentary will bring on a believer and then a skeptic and a believer and a skeptic and a believer and a skeptic and we go back and forth and say, is it real? Isn't it real? We're taking a very provocative position, which I don't want to give too much away, but we actually are trying to say, here's what the phenomena is really all about. Here's why it has been misrepresented and there's been so much disinformation over time. Here's why it is ridiculed and debunked. Here are the reasons why these things are not treated fairly or honestly. We're actually going to try to bring that out into the light of day. And we're trying to take a very proactive position that the phenomena is real. It deserves real study. It deserves careful study. We're trying to make a strong point, as strong a case as we can, to say this stuff really needs to be looked at from a different point of view so that we can move forward and make at least a little bit of progress in getting to the bottom of this, you know, at least 70-year-old mystery.
Not only that, but also kind of set the benchmark or raise the bar in how this particular subject is covered. That sounds like a healthy way of approaching it. Now,
I hope so.
A couple of our posters at forum.theparacast.com are really interested in how you're going to fold in recreations. Are they going to be scripted? Is it going to have your TV style voiceover? You mentioned that you're going to be on site for much of this. in the actual locations where these events took place. How are you going to approach the kind of Hollywood portion of this, where you're using actors to recreate reality?
Well, I remember when ABC did a couple of specials on UFOs that Peter Jennings hosted a few years ago, and I was really impressed with some of the CGI work of that, because I really did feel on one particular case that I remember that you really did get a feeling for what it was like to experience something this strange and this unusual. Yes, I will be scripting a certain percentage of this. In fact, the whole thing, to be accurate with you, will actually follow a scripted plan. So there will be a certain blend of artistic license with reality. We're also going to be sticklers for accuracy. That's, you know, really important. And I don't know how much James has gotten into this, and it's obviously something we can't talk too much about, but we do have a very serious, a powerful inside source or two, let's just say it that way, who knew about our project a while back, contacted us, and has now provided us information and steered us in a certain direction. We sort of actually have a guideline for some of the stuff we're going to bring forward. You know, I was very wary, by the way, of this, because I knew Linda Howe and Bill Moore when they were being approached by so-called whistleblowers at that time, and I really found a lot of suspicious, you know, shenanigans going on with that, where a lot of things were said, I think, for disinformation reasons.
Right.
And I think that, you know, that ended up being not what it was supposed to be. So we have to be very, very careful, again, that whatever we do come forward with is accurate. We're obviously going to get attacked, too. I can tell you that now, that when this film comes out, there will be a lot of people who take issue with our conclusions and will jump all over us and try to make the thing again look ridiculous and look crazy. And we just have to, you know, fight that in the most honest way we can.
Well, just for our listeners' sake, please understand, folks, this is being produced as a feature film for movie theaters around the world, basically. This is not your average low to medium budget TV documentary. Having been privy to some of the developmental stages of this project, I can assure everybody that Tracy and James really have their game face on for this one. And, you know, Tracy, that brings a really interesting point up. Now, the name of the film is 701, and that represents, what, 5-7%, I think, of total Blue Book cases. These are the ones that remain still to this day as unidentified or unexplained. Which of the cases do you feel have the most compelling evidence that you're going to be featuring? And what was the process that you went through to arrive at the particular cases that you're going to be featuring?
Well, it was a very interesting process, which actually we're still in the midst of. So we haven't made all of our final decisions, but we've narrowed it down. I would say, to answer your question more directly, I really believe the Lonnie Zamora / Socorro case is extremely important. You had an incredibly reliable witness. You had other witnesses on the scene within a very short period of time. You had physical evidence. You had burns on the ground, burning brush from the object. But what's really, really cool is I've been researching another case in La Madera, New Mexico, which happened the day after the Lonnie Zamora case, and not very far away. And it really seems like the same exact object that Lonnie Zamora saw was seen landing by a river in La Madera, left a very serious burn circle. That
well,
when you look
it
used at
a bunch of beer bottles, if I remember
right.
correctly.
That's absolutely right, and good for you, because 99% of people don't know about
it. Well, it was right over the hump from the San Luis Valley, so...
Yeah. And so there's an example of a way where we're taking a case that actually has been talked about before. I know Unsolved Mysteries did it, and I think UFO Hunters may have done it. But we're really promoting that as an extremely important case. It's the case that changed Alan Hynek's mind. It's such a great case that I find it fascinating, again, that the skeptics have done such a miserable job of trying to explain it. And I guess recently there's been a spate of reports that it was a hoax, and it's been proven that it's a hoax. And I looked into that, and boy, that was beyond ridiculous. There was nothing to that whatsoever.
We're thinking of a specific article written by a specific UFO blogger where he allegedly had all the goods on it being a hoax. And when you looked at it, it kind of fell apart under careful examination.
Yes. And we're looking carefully into Lua Zimbabwe case. We're looking into the Virginia, Brazil case. very possibly the Trinidad Island Brazil case. These are some that we have been zeroing in on. And, you know, it is an interesting choice. It's dealer's choice. There are so many possible ways to go. So we're really trying to just zero in on the most compelling cases, which not only will interest, hopefully, the UFO buffs or the people that are interested in the subject, but also people who really don't know anything about it and have probably never taken it seriously in the past. I'm firmly of the belief that, quote-unquote, our side on this subject is losing. Okay, I think we're losing steadily over time. I think that the naysayers are gaining ground and saying more. And you know what? I'm sorry to digress here a little bit, but I think it's important that those of us that believe it's a real phenomena are willing to admit certain things that most UFO believers don't admit. For example, in my opinion, this is only my opinion, I don't even know for sure if James agrees with this, we need to be honest, those of us that believe it's a real phenomena, with the idea that there should be a lot more good UFO videos taken now. Now, I'll say that to people, and they'll say, oh, you're crazy. There's great UFO videos. They're out all the time. Everybody's shooting them, whatever. No, I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true. So I am personally puzzled by the fact that now that everyone has a video camera, that we don't have many more videos. And what it means to me, my theory on it is, okay, this is a self-concealing phenomena. Whoever is behind these events does not want the world as a whole to really know what they're doing. The things that we have learned from them, including abduction things, come from in spite of them instead of because of them. If we find something out, I'm firmly convinced they don't really want us to. Whatever it is they're up to, they have their own agenda. They're not interested in going on the Larry King show. They're not interested in landing on the White House lawn. They're not interested in telling people how many alien races are visiting the Earth. I think it's an absolute mystery. I think it has not been solved.
We have Tracy Torme joining Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
We are America's largest independently owned communications network, GCN.
If you own a business, you need customers, right? Well, your potential customers are listening to this radio program right now, and I can help you reach them. Hi, I'm Matt Brower, a national marketing executive at the radio network responsible for this program. I can help you customize a national radio campaign that fits your budget, large or small, while targeting your specific audience. Call me to learn how radio advertising can make your business more profitable. 877-996-4327, extension 128. That's 877-996-4327, extension 128.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
If you're worried about your health and you're tired of the nasty side effects of harsh drugs or antibiotics, then look no further. Supernatural Silver is the answer. Supernatural Silver is a powerful immune system enhancer that can be used every day to help keep you healthy and well with none of those nasty side effects. It's extremely safe for use internally as well as topically. And Supernatural Silver is hundreds of times more effective than colloidal or ionic silver. It is perfect for use in the sinuses, eyes, ears, and on any wound or skin issue. Supernatural Silver is also extremely effective when taken orally and can help fight off bacteria, viruses, and mold that may be overwhelming your immune system. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com. SupernaturalSilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off of your entire order and give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.